It's farmers market season in Michigan's Copper Country. We hope you'll get out and support your local farmers this season. On Tuesdays, you can find open markets in Houghton and South Range. Wednesdays, you can shop in Launce or Chassel. Thursdays, you can find fresh food in Hancock and Copper Harbor. Friday, you can visit the market in Lake Linden. And on Saturdays, markets will be open in Calumet, Launce, and Mohawk. Visit phfgive.org/food to find hours for each market. This PSA is sponsored by Portage Health Foundation.
Once again, good Sunday morning and welcome to Copper Country Today. I'm Todd Van Dyke. Our program is brought to you by the Portage Health Foundation. Find out more about them and their mission at phfgive.org. We've spent the last few weeks talking with political candidates in the contested races on the August primary ballot. Please remember that the primary election is coming up this Tuesday as we air on Sunday morning. Make sure that you take the opportunity to vote if you haven't already. We get back to some of our more normal topics now on the program for at least the next few weeks. And I welcome in Dr. Tim Pino, who is the president of Finlandia University, newly installed. And welcome to the program. Welcome to the community.
Well, thank you so much. It's a great morning, and I'm glad to be here. I will tell you, I'm not a doctor.
You're not a doctor.
I am not a doctor.
How did you get a college president job without being a doctor?
I have something called an MFA, a Master of Fine Arts degree, which is the terminal degree in my field. So
okay.
In many ways, it's like a doctorate, but it isn't called a doctorate.
So. I have a Bachelor of Fine Arts
degree.
There you go. Then I kind of stopped at that. but it's the equivalent level.
Yeah,
and so we respect you anyway.
Well, I appreciate that. Maybe you won't in a few years, but hopefully you do now.
No, I'm sure that things are going to go absolutely wonderfully, and we do welcome you to the community and to Finlandia University, which is such an important part of our community. It's one of the things that I want to talk about over the next few minutes. But first, tell us a little bit about yourself. What's your background?
Sure. So I'm originally from southern Wisconsin. I was born in Racine, Wisconsin, raised in Monroe near Madison. Went to college at Luther College in Iowa, and then did my graduate work at the University of Florida, and then started teaching at St. Olaf College in Minnesota, and then moved on to the big school and went to a big research institution in New Mexico, New Mexico State in Las Cruces for about 15 years, went up the faculty ranks. I come from the theater. That's my background. So I'm an actor by trade. And then after 15 years there, I moved to a regional public university called Colorado Mesa University, about the same size as Tech here in town, and spent 12 years there. And then this past May, they offered me the position here. So that's the short version.
Fine arts seems to me, somebody who comes from that background myself, seems to be an odd launching point for somebody who winds up as an administrator. How does that work?
Yeah, I hear that once in a while, but then when you really think about it, people who are trained in the arts are trained to think creatively. They're trained to think outside the box.
That's true.
And to come up with solutions. In the theater, we often say, well, we need a door, but all we've got is a couple of sticks and a sheet. So we make that a door, right? And so that ability to think outside the box and think in ways and make connections that other people don't is really useful. At the same time, people that come out of the theater like I do are almost always project managers. They work on a project for 6 weeks or 3 months, and it's a very tight, time-compressed thing. There's got to be deadlines hit. There's got to be organization, all those sorts of things. So those two things have served me exceedingly well. And there's actually more people in administration coming out of the theater than you might think. It's just they don't tend to get to the presidential level very often. I think the difference for me has been that I have sort of cultivated those skills, and I've done a wide range of administration. I didn't just administrate in the theater. I ran distance education programs, I ran graduate programs for a university. So my background is very, very broad, and I think that's how it all kind of came together in this job opportunity.
So with all of that background and all of that experience, you looked around one day and you said, gosh, there's this tiny little school in this remote little place where it snows all winter long, all the time. Certainly looks like a good fit for me. What attracted you to it?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I was nominated for the position by someone. I am not sure whom. They don't tell you that. And I got a call from the search firm, and they said, Finlandia University is looking for a president, and you've been nominated. And my first thought was, where is that? And they said,
but well, do I recall that there was some passing association had early in your life with Finlandia University?
That's right. And so I did not know that Suomi had become Finlandia.
Okay.
And so when they said Hancock, I said, well, I knew a Suomi college in Hancock. Oh, that's what it used to be. I said, oh, okay. I know who that is. First of all, I come out of the Lutheran college system.
Sure.
And most of my family does it well as well. My father also went to one. I taught at one. My sister went to another one. My mother went to another one. So my whole family comes out of the Lutheran college system. So when they said that, the story, in case some of you haven't heard it, is that when I was 16 and 17 years old, what was then Suomi College used to have a leadership camp in the summers for youth of the Lutheran college, Lutheran parishes in Wisconsin and Upper Michigan. And I was sent to it for 2 years. And so I came up here for 2 summers when I was younger, and they are some of the most important summers of my life. They really set me on a course that made me understand what service is, and what servant leadership is, although we didn't use those terms in those days. And so for me, this then becomes a sort of coming full circle. The thing that started me on this lengthy journey is now the place where I'm going to finish that journey. So for me, it was at that point, once I figured out who Finlandia was, it was an easy step to try and apply for the job and really try and be here.
What is the significance these days of the Lutheran connection? I'm familiar with an awful lot of the private colleges in Michigan. Some of them maintain yet strong ties with their founding denominations. Some of them, you'd be hard-pressed to name what they are anymore. Finlandia remains fairly closely tied to the Lutheran Church.
It does. And so the same way that you just spoke about other colleges in Michigan would be true of the Lutheran colleges as a whole. There's 26 of them. Some of them you would be hard-pressed to in any way identify them as Lutheran. Others are very closely tied. We are relatively closely tied. What it really means is that when I and the management team make decisions about the future of Finlandia and which way we're going to go on something, we take into account the Lutheran theology. We take into account the theology of the church that helps us have values and guides our work as we lead. Having said that, there is, I suspect that maybe only half the student body is Lutheran, or maybe less. I'm not sure. That may be true of the faculty and staff as well. But it's a guiding principle, and that's the way I would think of it now, is it's the guiding principle behind what we do.
And that was going to be my follow-up question. How does this relate to the student body? Is it something that you actively use to recruit, or is it something that you have to kind of put aside because you don't want to scare off anybody whose theology may not be strictly
sure.
Lutheran?
It would be both of those things, depending on who we're recruiting. Certainly we have, I have been told by our admissions staff and our athletic staff, we have a fair number of people who send their children here who have nothing to do with the Lutheran Church, but they feel like it would be a safe, secure, and responsible place to send their children. So in that case, certainly there are some aspects of our Lutheran heritage that apply. There are some others who are not, that's not part of their lives, and they don't intend it to be. And so in those cases, we talk about the school as a school, as any other school would. And then there are those places where we recruit, where we may go to a church and talk to people between church services. In those cases, we make it clear who we are and what we do. So in those ways, we try and be whatever the student needs us to be for them, because the focus has to be on them and not on us.
How do you then follow that through on campus? because I would assume that for those students who are there from the Lutheran tradition, you want to have worship opportunities and service opportunities that follow along in that. But there are other students who may not be interested.
Right. So there, you probably, as you all probably know, having been through the campus, there is a chapel. We do have a campus pastor. Sarah Semler Smith is our campus pastor, an ordained minister in the Lutheran Church, and so she is there for students. She also teaches classes and things like religion. So those opportunities still exist for students that want to take part in it.
One of the things that I have learned about Finlandia over the years that I have been here is that it has, I believe, a very special symbiotic relationship with its community. Many of the schools that I've been associated with, the small schools across the state, are almost islands unto themselves in the towns in which they're located. Finlandia University, and it's partly, I think, because of the Heritage Center, the Finnish American Heritage Center, which coordinates activities throughout the community. There's a symbiotic relationship here that's very, very important. How do you pursue that over the next few years?
Yeah, that's a great question. So one of the things that's unique about Finlandia as a private liberal arts, small private liberal arts institution, there are very few institutions like that where half the students are Pell Grant recipients. In other words, they need a lot. They get a fair amount of money because of their socioeconomic circumstances to go to school. And at the same time, a large percentage, about half, are first-generation students, the first in their families to go to college. That's incredibly unique for a small private liberal arts school. But what that means is, because of that clientele, those people, that means that we have to be one with the community. There can't be a town and gown separation, because they are them and we are us.
Yeah.
And so things, it shows up in things like the Hancock Promise, where we are offering discounted tuition to Hancock High School graduates, or the way that Hervin and Hall, that we just did the grand opening this last weekend, came from the school district.
Sure.
Quincy Green, a place that is the university's, but that we open up to the community to do the farmers market and things like that. So that ability to find an intersection where there is no us and them is really what we need to capitalize on, because that's who our student constituent base is. So in terms of moving that outward, I just spoke with one of the area school superintendents this morning. One of the things we're going to be looking to do is see if there are schools here that would like to offer concurrent enrollment classes. In other words, Finlandia classes at their high school for their high school students, so that by the time they graduate high school, they already have some college credits. So that's one way that we can do that for the various, I think there are 9 school districts in the Keweenaw, if I remember right. So that's one way we can do it. We're also looking at the Finnish education system, K-12, is the envy of the world.
Yes.
And so one of the things that makes perfect sense to me is we ought to become the outpost of that in the United States. And right now, the state doesn't allow us to start an education program, but that doesn't mean that we couldn't start a continuing education program for current teachers, because they always need credits to keep up their licensure. So that's
But there was a we'll time when Finlandia had an education system and offered teaching degrees. That went by the by about a decade ago, as I recall. Is it we need teachers at this point? Is there any discussion about bringing that back?
Well, we would have to get permission from the state, and right now the state is not allowing any new ones. But I've already spoken.
Which makes perfect sense, because we're so darn short of them.
Yeah, I think this, and every state struggles with this right now. I mean, there's a huge, huge problem with teachers. My wife is in K-12 education, so every place I've lived is in dire straits right now. So I think the state eventually is going to have to lighten up on that. But in the meantime, we can help the teachers who are already here, and then that will prepare us for a time when we can restart an education program.
Talking with Tim Pinnell, he is the new president of Finlandia University. Small college enrollment, a little over 400 at this point, which really makes it one of the smallest colleges in the entire state of Michigan, as I look around and see enrollments from other colleges. Education is tough right now. We are graduating fewer high school seniors. Community colleges have expanded their offerings over the last few years. You mentioned the concurrent college education programs. Gilgibbon Community College is doing some things such as that. How does a small college, kind of in an out-of-the-way place, manage to stand up against the increasing pressure that's being put on kids to please attend us, please attend us, please sign with us?
Yeah, that is the million-dollar question in higher ed right now. We have a large number of institutions in the country. Our traditional student base is shrinking, which means we're slicing the pie thinner and thinner and thinner. And so I think you've seen in the Northeast, there have been a number of small colleges that have closed. We've begun to see that in the Midwest. I think the way that you counter that for a small college is you have to find unique programs that no one else is offering, that you can have so that you can create a bigger slice of the pie for yourself.
And I suppose it doesn't have to be a huge program because you're a small school. So it's not like you have to attract 1,000 students to it every year.
That's correct. If you have a program that could attract 25 at a school the size of Finlandia, that makes a huge difference. So I think one of the things we've already started talking about are a few programs that there doesn't seem to be anyone else in the UP, at least, offering those programs, and a few programs that we might even be able to take nationally in a distance education manner. We already talked about the education, Finnish education sort of center idea. Those sorts of things are things we could actually market nationally through distance education and maybe get a pretty good slice of the pie that way.
One of the things that a lot of the small schools in Michigan that I'm familiar with have is a big endowment underneath them. There's money there that if enrollment fluctuates a little bit, they can kind of even things out with that. That's never been really the case with Finlandia University. Is there a way that the university could start to reach out, maybe build that kind of a base to help ensure the future?
Well, we are certainly working on that all the time, and that doesn't just mean my administration, but previous administrations. We're always constantly working on that. I think that right now is a little bit of a tough time to do that because everybody's worried about a recession.
Well, and an endowment is such a long-term project anyway. You start it now, and maybe 25 or 30 years from now, all of a sudden it matures and you get some proceeds from it. But for the first quarter of a century while you're doing it, you're basically just building it.
That's right. That's right. Endowments, the best way to do endowments is through plan giving, through people's wills or life insurance policies or those sorts of things are the easiest. Those are long-term projects, even before you have the endowment. So you know, one of the things that we are hoping to do, I will be making trips to potential donors regularly. That's part of any college president these days.
That has to be, for me at least, that would be one of the least pleasant things that I would have to do. I just, you know, I would be, as a president, I would be looking at educating the students and all of that kind of thing. Now I have to go beg for money.
Well, one of the things I would say to you is that you have to look at it slightly differently. The people you're going to, in almost all cases, are people who are deeply invested in the institution.
Well, that's true.
Right? Yeah. And so they love Finlandia. And so getting the chance to hear their stories about how they're connected to the place, some of them don't even... we have Hervonen Hall that we just named after the Hervonen family. Ray Hervonen did not go to Finlandia. His children did not go to Finlandia, but he was Finnish, and this he felt really strongly about supporting the school. So hearing all those stories and being able to chat with people about why it means so much to them is actually really energizing, I find. So I actually enjoy it.
And is that a key, perhaps, to this? The fact that this is the only college in the United States that has this Finnish background to it. Are there people who are devotees of Finland, companies that are associated with Finland, who might look at this and say, gee, we see value in it?
Well, I think that's absolutely true. That's one of the reasons one of our board members is I think, just got back from Finland. But he came out of K-12 education, so I said, while you're there, work on this Finnish education centerpiece, right? And this morning, I got an email from a gentleman in Finland who works with an association there who wants a closer tie with Finlandia in the United States in a certain area. So those sort of things are also things we'll be developing as well.
I know there are, historically have been a number of students from Finland who have come and studied here. Is that something that could be strengthened and expanded?
Well, one of the things we're going to look at, and I don't want to go too far down this road because I don't know all the inner workings of it yet, but one of the things we've talked about is our Dean of Business, Kevin Manninen, has mentioned that there's still a market for Finnish students who have graduated with a business degree to want to get an American business degree, because the American business degree is still the gold standard around the world. So is there a way that we can create a program where students who have graduated in Finland in business could come here for, say, a year or maybe a year and a half and complete our requirements, upper division requirements for a business degree, and then get a Finlandia business degree? So that's something we're going to look at. I don't know if it will come to fruition or not, but it seems to be an interesting path.
Interesting, because the Finlandia education system is so highly regarded, you'd think that a Finnish business degree would be valued equally, but perhaps the college system over there, not what the K-12 system is.
You know, I can't speak much to that, but I would tell you, around the world, the American business degree is the gold standard in any country. That's why you see so many foreign students across the globe coming and trying to get into American MBA programs. It's the gold standard.
Talking with Tim Pinnell, who's the new president of Finlandia University. I'm sure that as you went through this process, you had discussions with the university leadership and the board about where they would like this university to be 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road. Do you, and I know it's early on, but do you at this point have a vision as to how you think things can unfold?
Well, we've talked about some of it already. The key to the university right now is growth. It's going to be incredibly difficult to sustain an institution of only 420 students. We really need to go more than that. I think we could be stable at 550 or 600. That's knowing what I know now. That will take a number of years to get there in this environment. The best way to do that growth is two places. One, Finlandia has a lot of room for growth in non-athletes. In other words, we do very, very well recruiting athletes.
And that was the reason for that expansion of that program 10, 12, 15 years ago, was it was going to bring in students and we needed the bodies.
And it has. And it's given a whole lot of students who maybe otherwise wouldn't go to college an opportunity for a college degree. And that's just fantastic.
Yes.
But now the places where we need to really look are the non-athletes. That's become a smaller percentage of the pie. So that's something we really need to look at. The way to do that, again, we talked about earlier, is to try and create some very unique programs. You're not going to see a huge increase in, say, English majors at any school right now.
Too bad.
Yeah, because they just get, it's a smaller and smaller slice of that pie. But if you can create the unique ones, then you have an opportunity to grow. So that's really what we're looking at in terms of growth to stabilize the finances, is to really try and find some unique programs. Probably some in the nursing pipeline somewhere.
I was going to ask, how much of that can be related to healthcare? You just dedicated Hervin and Hall. Most of that is dedicated to your health sciences college. How many little offshoots can you find there, little specialties that people might be able to pursue?
Well, we've already talked, we've already talked about a couple. I won't reveal them here, but I'll give this example. My previous institution, Colorado Mesa University, a student could come for 5 weeks and get a CNA and immediately get a job in a assisted living or whatever. They could work for a while, stabilize their, say they just got out of high school and they really socioeconomically just needed a job. So during high school, they could get that CNA, start working right away, maybe get a roommate, stabilize their finances, come back and get, say, an LPN. That would take maybe a year, a year and a half. They could then go, they had multiple choices. Then they could come back, work, come back, get an AASRN, become a registered nurse. They could go straight into a BSN program. They could go LPN to BSN. They could go RN to BSN. And then after they got to the BSN level, they could go to an MSN in education, nursing education, or get a family nurse practitioner as an MSN. And if they wanted to go beyond that, they could get a doctor in nursing practice. So we had every single step along the way and bridges between them. Now, we're not going to be able to do that much here at Finlandia, but we can do some of that. So for example, we want to create programs that a person who is already working in healthcare but wants to take the next step, continue to work, continue to feed their family, but still move toward that next level that will result in a pay bump or a higher salary or a new position that they're interested in.
And heaven knows that's a field that's in great demand right now.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So got to wrap this up, but Tim Pinnell, the new president of Finlandia University, thank you so much for coming in. It's a pleasure to meet you, and certainly wish you the best as you settle in at Finlandia, and looking forward to a long and successful run for you.
Well, thank you so much for the time today. I've enjoyed meeting you and having the chat as well.
And we'll be back in just a moment. Copper Country Today, brought to you by the Portage Health Foundation.